everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is the long sought after, long awaited, long lost Points on the Board. And I'm here with Big John. Big John, how are you doing today?
You know,
brother?
Well, I'm exhausted. You know that. But that's okay, because when it comes to doing Points on the Board, we got to get back in the swing of things, baby. Get back to doing what we do.
As John says that in a monotone voice without a message. For y'all that don't know John, I love John to death. John is one of the few people who can tolerate me because I get emotional and I'm like, bam, bam, bam. And poor John just takes it. And John is the type of guy, America, if you have a problem with John, then odds are you're the problem. We all know somebody like that. For you Budweiser, Bud Light fans, remember the commercial with Ken? Ken was like the perfect guy in the commercial, and all the guys are looking at Ken, and they hate Ken.
Well, for a second there, William, I thought I was afraid you were going to bring up a different Bud Light commercial to describe me. So I thought you might accuse me of, some Dylan Mulvaney action in a Bud Light commercial, and I was holding my breath there, but thankfully you did not throw me in that category.
You know what's funny about Dylan Mulvaney? We were talking about him the other night, and my friend goes, isn't that the guy you mentioned us a couple years ago? And I thought, like, I was like, oh, my God, yeah, because I said, you know, he's a cute transgender, meaning he's not an ugly man. He's not a cute – I mean, he could play it right. I said, he's somebody who could sit there and make some money. And he reminded me, that's the guy you're talking about. I'm like, yeah, he's making a lot of money now, but is the infamy worth it, you know? Because I saw a very terrible image of him today, and I thought it was a shot below the belt. It was by this woman because he's got a makeup product. And you know how this has been vicious, very tribalistic between the transgenders and the straights, I guess, for lack of a better word. And this lady said was mocking him, and then she had the close-up, and he had, like, his nose hairs here. You know, trim, you can still see him. He had all the razor burns. And technically she's right in a way, because I've got to be honest. I have been friends with a couple of transgenders over the decades of my lifetime where I've known them. And, yeah, when you get up close to that male transgender, it's a lot of makeup, a lot of covering up. And a transgender did talk to me about the process. He's a she now because they went through the whole process, and I will always respect that, about the electrolysis. Mm. They get. So it's a whole process, you know. But anyway, let's get back to Points on the Board. People, we got on here real quick because John and I, every time we meet, almost every night, at least 4 to 5 times a week, we're always arguing and debating. And we're like, well, let's bring this on to Points on the Board and just do a, what's the word, spontaneous one. So what we want to talk about is the Aaron Rodgers trade went down. And I made a critical mistake. As I've gotten older, I've gotten wiser, smarter, and more righter, or so I tell myself. But I seem to be the only voice in America that says the Jets got the better deal. Everybody else is saying the Jets got fleeced. But here's why I say the Jets got the better deal.
Well, hold on, William. What was the deal? Lay out the deal so everybody knows what the details were.
All right. Actually, let me bring up our Twitter.
Okay. Real quick. I have it in front of me if you want me to –
Sure.
So the Jets are receiving Aaron Rodgers. They're swapping picks in this year's first round. So the Jets will move down to 15. The Packers will move up to 13. They get this year's second round pick from the Jets, going from the Jets to the Packers. That's number 42. And the Jets are sending their sixth rounder this year, number 207, to the Packers. The Packers also will get the Jets' 2024 second round pick, and that's conditional to become a first-round pick if Rodgers plays in 65% of the snaps, offensive snaps, for the Jets in 2023. The Jets are also going to get kicked back, I think, a fifth-round pick from the Packers this year. Now, what's interesting about this deal, William, and I'll tell you why I crap on it to Tom with the rest of America, then you can tell me why you think it's a good deal. I crap on it for a lot of different reasons. The more desperate team here were the Packers. They could not keep Aaron Rodgers. They're tied into him for close to $60 million on the cap. So the Jets were in the position of strength here. And the Jets also had other options. For the life of me, I still don't know why they didn't put an offer sheet out to Lamar Jackson. Because then that's leverage against the Packers as well, right? And it also puts leverage against the Ravens as well. I would have made an offer sheet to the to Lamar Jackson and then negotiate it down with the Ravens. Instead of paying two firsts for Jackson, I might have said, okay, why don't you take a first and a third? You know, and I'm sure the Ravens would have done that if they were serious about moving Jackson. The part that kills me in this trade, first of all, if I was the Jets, here's the trade offer for Aaron Rodgers. We'll give you a second in 2023, period. That's it. Nothing else. If you're willing to take on some of his salary, we'll make that a first. Like pay 30 of his $60 million. We'll up that to a first-round pick this year, but that's all you get. You don't get this other nonsense.
Oh, you're talking about the Jets going back. Okay, got it. I'm loving what you're saying.
Because don't forget, the Jets have also spent money signing all of Rodgers' friends. They signed Hackett. They signed Randall Cobb. They tried to sign Calais Campbell. In other words, they have already spent money just setting the table for Rodgers. And to spend $60 million on him and give up draft capital, because how else are you going to build that team? Your free agent pool is gone now. So how are you going to build up that team if you're giving up your draft capital too? For somebody who's like, how old is Aaron Rodgers now? 39? And you're deal, yeah.
49. He's at that point where next year.
Right,
next year
but my ultimate point is, he's been saying he doesn't know if he wants to play or not for the last two or three seasons. He's pulling a Brett Favre on everybody. So.
Right. Oh, good point. Good point, though. He did say that while he was in Green Bay. Yet Brett Favre went on to play for what? A minimum of at least three years. I can't remember, but at least three more years.
Right. But I'm saying from the Jets' perspective, you don't want to, just like from the Packers' perspective, you don't want to deal with someone who every season's like, I don't know if I'm coming back. I have to retreat into the darkness. I got to wait to see what Alex Jones tells me to do. Whatever the hell. You know, it's like you don't want to have to deal with that year after year. So from the Jets' perspective, they want to go for the brass ring. I give them credit, right? They've got a top five defense. Their owner said, I'm willing to drop a couple of dollars on a high-profile quarterback. Great. You get a quick deal done with Green Bay. Like I said, second rounder, tops. I'm old school. I would have offered a fifth rounder for him because, like, you're stuck for $60 million. You can't cut him. You've already said, if you're Green Bay, you've already said you're moving on to Jordan Love. What are you going to do? Start the season if the Jets pull out of this trade? What are you going to do? Start the season with Rodgers on the bench because you can't cut him. What are you going to do? Bench Love and now risk that kid's career going forward, your future franchise quarterback? So that's why I think
– John, I agree. I tweeted that out earlier. I said they cannot go into camp with Rodgers. Even if they said Jordan Love's the starter and they told Rodgers – don't come into camp. The controversy is still there. And the only person who gets truly negatively destroyed is Love by having the shadow. Yep. It's like Steve Young. People don't understand what Steve Young overcame in overcoming Joe Montana's shadow. He was he's one of – that's where his intellect paid off. He handled that pretty well. The reason I say the Jets got okay, let me rephrase it. I came out too soon before realizing – football is a business. You have the football side and then the business side. But where it overlaps is with the salary cap. So I completely forgot the $50 million when I put – but I was thinking football in terms of players and draft rounds. But we still don't know fully yet what the impact of that salary cap is. There's this website called SportTrack, I believe.
SportTrack.
That kind of specifically mentioned that. They came out with their analysis but said, hey – things could change even if they rework the contract. That's a change to the whole status. So we got to wait for that. But you are absolutely right. The fact that the Jets did not take or force the Packers to take that, but that could still happen. We don't know the ramifications of that side of the deal. But on the surface, it looks like they're not going to Green Bay's not going to eat any of that. And if that's the case, then to me that just – it's just – I don't even blame the general manager because the only consistent there has been who? For all these mega pathetic deals is the owner. So the owners is like, it's like we always complain about owners getting too involved, but sometimes I think the owner needs to step in and look for them. What are you doing there as GM? This is my money. But it seems like Woody doesn't care. I think
Woody Johnson. Woody Johnson.
The reason.
No, I was going to say Woody Johnson came out and said, spend the money. I'm spending the money on right. So
yeah.
Listen, they looked at Derek Carr initially. Right?
Well, hold on. Woody Johnson has said that going all the way back to every failed free agent, starting with Santonio Holmes, if not earlier. You know, it's like Santonio Holmes, Bell, Le'Veon Bell. So you're right. So it seems like the spigot is always open with him, but there's no accountability for that spigot. So real quick, sure. Let's get back to Rodgers. The reason I thought the Jets should have not given – the Packers should have demanded a first-round pick. Look, at the end of the day, I don't care if he's only going to play for one season. He's worth a first-round pick because there's no questions about who he is and what he can do for that team. You never – how Kyler Murray. You know, top pick. What's he done? You know, Kyle Bowler. You know, going all the way back. And the only reason I remember him is they were talking about quarterbacks who can get on their knees and throw 50 yards. I mean, you just did it. Help me out here. Spit out some first-round busts.
How about Zach Wilson, the guy they got already?
Yeah, well, you can't call him a bust yet. But, yeah, he seems to be on his way. But I would agree with you. But my point being is, there is no question about what he gives you. So if I'm the Packers, no ifs, ands, or buts. You know, they play this little trickery game of swapping two picks. No, stop, you know. Then the second round picks, that's free agent side. What makes the first round so critical is that's where your next potential superstar can come, statistically speaking. I mean, somebody's going to throw out Tom Brady, you know. And I agree, you know, you can find superstars within the draft. And those second round picks can make up for that. Drew Brees is a great example. I'm not stating what I'm saying is 100% correct. I'm just saying on the surface, with nothing else known, Aaron Rodgers is worth an outright first-round pick. Not a swap, not a conditional one for down the years. He is a Super Bowl proven. And I'm not a Rodgers fan, as you know, but compare him. You tell me anybody else in that draft right now, Big John, who you consider that guy's as good as Aaron Rodgers, and they can start and play at a professional level and get us to the playoffs this year. And I say that because supposedly the Jets are almost a QB away. That's all we heard last year. They're a QB away. Even with, Brees Hall. Help me out here. Brees Hall going down. We're a quarterback away. We just need a quarterback. So based off their own hype, based off the belief of the fans, Aaron Rodgers is worth a first-round pick outright. And the Packers should have figured out a way to hold out for that. But because of what you said, and I agree with, the Jets play this well. It was a fair trade outside of the salary cap is how I view it, when at the end of the day, the Packers should have gotten an outright first-round pick. And that's just my take. And my take is different for every individual. I'm basing this take on what Rodgers brings to the table. Now, if I'm a naysayer, I'm going, yeah, well, what's he done in the playoffs? Hey, I'm with you, brother, but he did make it to the Super Bowl.
Once a long time ago. Listen, the thing with Aaron Rodgers is that, first of all, he is not a locker room fit. I'll predict right now, he's not a locker room fit for New York. I can tell you right now.
You think it's the locker room? Or just, to me, it's not the locker room.
But that's what I meant. Locker room media. In other words, I don't know that he's going to be the best teammate in New York.
Okay, time out. I'm going to ask you a question based off that. The only time we heard negativity out of him was specifically from wide receivers who left Green Bay. We never really heard any negativity. He's a jerk. He's this. He's that. From the current locker room. I mean, from the locker room throughout the 15 years he was there. It was always players, receivers who left. So I'm asking you. I don't disagree with you just based off his personality. But I'm asking you, based off the data, we never heard anything. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. Just it wasn't reported. Why do you say that?
Especially the last, say, 4 or 5 years, his act in Green Bay wore thin with the Green Bay media, right? So, and that's in a town, okay? Now, we all know the difference between living and playing in Green Bay and living and playing in New York, L.A., Chicago, right? It's an entirely different vibe.
They call it the Great White North for a couple of reasons.
Well, there's that old joke. When Reggie White signed there, every black guy on the team became Reggie White, right? Because the people there never saw black people in the malls or anything. So they would see...
The record, Reggie White, the importance of signing Reggie White, and this is inside the baseball, I'm sure it may have been reported publicly, it was pre-internet though, Part of the reason they gave Reggie White what he wanted and sold the farm is he was so amicable, so likable, so loved by the league. They needed him to go recruit mm-hmm. other black players to come play in Green Bay because Green Bay was yes. struggling to recruit black players. But to me, that was part of the tribalism. Every player who has gone to Green Bay has nothing.
No, I don't disagree with you. But I'm saying
they needed him to just even get. Plus, they were a losing team.
No, I don't disagree with you. But the point is, Green Bay treats its football players like gods, like heroes, right?
Right.
And the media is very deferential. Like they treat, for the most part, they treat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay media with kid gloves. You know how it is in New York. I've lived in New York. You're aware of what happens. You're aware of the California media sometimes in L.A. Same thing in Chicago, right? It's like they're
Oh, no, John. There is no, you know. New York City media, whatever industry, is the most brutal media. And the ones who survive are the ones who are like ducks.
Right. Just like Eli Manning, right? Like Eli Manning.
Yeah, I'm rich. Yeah, perfect. Eli Manning. And to a degree, Plaxico Burress. People don't realize. I mean, the media got to him at times, but that guy would drive the media nuts.
Well, him and LT, because he just joked with them. But the point is, when they start going after Aaron Rodgers for some of the nonsense that he says, and throw in that New York, for the most part, is a liberal town, his when he gets up and says crap, like, you know, whatever he says, they're really going to attack him. And I get the feeling he's a fragile ego. You see a lot of this fragility coming out of Rodgers. So, yes, on the football field, he's still got it skills wise. I'm not going to debate that with you. But is it a case where it's subtraction from addition, right? Because when he gets in there, how are his younger teammates going to react to him when they see how he handles the media? That veteran leadership is important. And I don't know that he has it. And if he's
John, I got to disagree with you. I've never seen a problem with him handling the media. He's handled the media well. The media hates him because he doesn't care about the media. You know, technically speaking, I agree with the media. But he didn't lie to them. He used them. He abused them and played them when it came to the vaccine.
It's not just the vaccine.
It's something you libertarians, I discovered, do a lot. You use the right – not you, right. Not you, but you naturally
do
it.
What I mean yes, is, I got you, but I'm not even talking specifically about the vaccine. Like this whole I'm retreating into the darkness to figure out what I'm going to do next. The second he says that at a podium, do you think the New York media is leaving him alone? They're already gassing up the Jets to follow him wherever he goes, right?
Right. But here's the difference. When he says those things, do you ever see him coming back, y'all lied, you morons, you this, and throws this thing down and starts? No.
No, but it doesn't just – it rolls off his back in part because his hometown media – doesn't push the issue with him. They're not as savage with him as other press markets will be. Like, for example, he gets it in the national media, right? Like the
I agree. I agree. I don't want to dwell on that topic because John is absolutely right in the sense I'm just basing it on what's happened in the past, and I'll stick by that going in if I had to place a bet. That would determine how much I would be willing to lose knowing this info because at the end of the day, John is absolutely right. I think I would handle the New York media very well because I'd be like, go bleep yourself right. And send your wife my way. You know, show a real man that's not New York, you know? And that's how I would deal with it. And that's how Joe Namath dealt with it. That's how other people dealt with it, you know? And they're successful because they don't care about the media. They see nothing but fat white guys who couldn't make it in high school who had this power, you know? And and you're right. Rodgers, that's what I was going to say. Rodgers doesn't have a fragile ego. We don't know what kind of ego he has because he's never been truly challenged that extra step. So we will find out what kind of ego. And if you put a gun to my head, I go, yeah, it's fragile. You know, but we don't know. And John is probably tired of me saying that because I've been saying it for 2 weeks with our political debates or heated discussions we've had. At the end of the day, sometimes you got to wait it out because we can speculate all we want. Let's bottom line this before we let the audience go. Hold on. We are going to segue into 2 more minutes. John believes that Lamar Jackson is who they should have gone after and just signed based off the money. I don't argue that. What I bring up in dispute, and I'm tired of the fanboy, so, and John's not a fanboy, so we can actually talk about it here, and John was the one who brought this to my attention, kind of like throwing it back in his face. You have to build a team around Lamar's strength.
Yeah.
That means not only are you going to pay him what you're paying Aaron Jackson and more, because for a longer-term contract there, you got to spend millions more to build around him, and you got to cut and trade other people. So it's not just that big, fat contract you're giving up. You're cutting, releasing, and trying to coax people to come in, and that's going to create millions more in cost, and I'm not exaggerating that. You know, so I'm not saying don't bring Lamar Jackson, but this isn't an apples to apples comparison. It's different. The positive for Jackson is he's 26 and Aaron Rodgers is 96. So there's that differential. But I will pose to the audience the same question I posed to John. And that question is, let me find my question here, brother. And I got to give credit where credit is due. I stole this question from the great, I was going to say late great. He's not late. From the great Hall of Famer. He is a Hall of Famer, isn't he? Mark Slaren?
I don't know. I don't think he is, but maybe he is.
Okay, so Mark Slaren brought up a point that I would have eventually got to.
And, of course, Mark Slaren was a guard for those great Denver Broncos teams. So he's the next offensive lineman from the Broncos.
Yeah, and for about 12 years. So he knows the game. Right. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Man knows the game. And he was an ESPN analyst at a time when I still watched ESPN, and he knew his stuff. I mean, and let's not take away from most of the players, at least in football. In basketball, man, you get some odd takes out there. But in football, most of the players, you hear them, you do get educated into the weeds of the game. But he asked a simple question to a fanboy. When you run the ball the way the Ravens ran the ball during Lamar Jackson's MVP season, what coverage did the defense play? And the reason that's an important question, and there is no one answer, there's a general answer. They played to stop the run, not to stop Lamar Jackson. And that's the whole key with Lamar. He is a focal point of the offense with his legs. He's not a focal point with his arm. That could change, and it has. In some games, Lamar has lit them up. But the point being that Schlereth was saying is all this hype for Lamar Jackson is not exactly warranted like the fanboys. And if it's true that the Jets are ready to win now, and John, you're a New Yorker, please answer that question, because I don't know if the Jets are ready to win now with a quarterback. But if that is the case, then Rodgers fits this defense. It's not even a comparison. You can't bring a Lamar Jackson in who would take another 1 to 2 years to learn the offense and 1 to 2 years to build the team around him. So you're looking at being competitive at 3 years. You've got to start looking at who's going to be part of that team to start, you know, building the bridge for certain positions and solidifying other positions with the up-and-comers. So it's more moving pieces to bring Lamar Jackson on. That's why I disagree with you with your take on that. Plus, contrary to belief, he's a great player. He's still learning how to be a great quarterback. And I am talking about his arm, people. And if you don't like that, you view it as tribalism, go take a hike. Because I said it about Brett Favre. I said it about Russell Wilson for about 2 minutes. And then I saw him play. I was like, oh, God. He was the only rookie who I saw knew how to use his legs to set up the pass. And I will be the first to admit the Russell Wilson from the first 2 to 3 seasons in the NFL is different from the Russell Wilson today, both mind and physical beings. So I've babbled on here, John. So please, what is your take on that? And are the Jets really a QB away or a QB in 1 or 2 players away?
They need a quarterback. right now, they're a team that's on the up and coming, but they have a lot of roadblocks. One is their offensive line isn't all that great. They do have some really nice offensive pieces, right? So they, Breece Hall, assuming he comes back from his injury, I mean, he was on his way to be rookie of the year.
And for the audience, the ACL tear is, for the last, I'd say, 5 to 10 years, is not the ACL tear that players dealt with.
Right.
Before.
It's a better surgery. It's a better rehab. Yeah, and let's not forget the kid that actually did win Rookie of the Year when Breece Hall went down was another Jet. It was Garrett Wilson, the wide receiver. So they have talent at the skill positions. I could argue they need a tight end, like a premier tight end, but
for the West Coast system, I would agree.
Yeah, it's Hackett's system, right? So they could you know, but easily they could draft a tight end that could play behind Uzoma, the guy they picked up from the Bengals last year, right? So,
but John, are they? He said they're an up and comer. If they get a quarterback and maybe say a tight end,
well their defense is top five. There's no doubt about that. Their defense is fantastic.
Okay, and that's why I think people are saying that. If they get Rodgers and say, like I said, a tight end, are they a Super Bowl threat? When I say Super Bowl threat, I don't mean they're the favorites.
But no, they're not. They're not. Strong team. I'm not even sure they're favored to win their division if they get Rodgers, because you've got to deal with the Bills and Josh Allen and everything they got going on. You've got to deal with the Dolphins and their offensive talent, right? So I'm not even sure that the Jets can win the AFC East if they pick up Rodgers. That's why
It's a competitive. I mean, look at it. Rodgers was arguably always in the talk as being in the top tier QBs in the NFC. Look, I'm sorry. I take Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrows, Josh Allen ahead of him. And Jalen Hurts. With another season like he had, if Rodgers was still in that, I'm saying division, but in NFC, I think Jalen Hurts is on the verge of surpassing.
That's what I'm trying to say. So to your point, Rodgers' age and his desire to play, how many years is he going to play? That to me is, listen, like I said, I'm not against Rodgers per se. I'm against Rodgers at the price the Jets paid for him. Like, if the Jets said, here's a second-round pick, that's what we're giving you.
But hold on, why do you say that? Because of his age and he can only
play. It's a combination of his age. It's a combination of how long he wants to play. Like, look, Brady was older, but he wanted to play. You couldn't keep Brady off the field. Rodgers.
Well, that's because he wasn't.
Yeah, he wasn't given anything to Giselle, right? But, the point is, I don't know when Rodgers is going to decide to quit. Nobody does, right? That's part of his problem/mystique, whatever you want to call it. So if I'm the Jets, what am I trading for? Somebody who'll play a year? Somebody who'll play 2 years? I don't know. And if, let's say they give all this stuff up for him, pay him his, what's it going to be over the next 2 years? $100, $120 million, whatever it is. You're going to pay that kind of money, commit those kind of resources, and at most you might get 2 years out of the guy?
Maybe so, but if they pay that to Lamar Jackson, they're out 2 years anyway because they ain't going to make it into the
But my point is Lamar Jackson will play it. Lamar Jackson, barring some catastrophic injury, is going to play 5 to 10 more years easy, right?
Right. No. Stop. Not easy. Here's my whataboutism. Looking at his playing style, people forget a little history here. Randall Cunningham was the bomb. Boom, boom, boom. He was tall, lanky. He's not somebody you thought had that speed or those cut moves. Then, bam, that leg went one Monday night or
against
Sunday
Pepper
night,
Johnson.
I can't remember.
On the Giants. Yep. I remember and that play. Amazing.
I do, too. Just because it's just Randall Cunningham, people, he was – Michael Vick, the basketball size version in certain ways, you know? And when that injury happened, his career was not effectively over, but he was never the same. Lamar Jackson has been injury prone the last 2 years. I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm saying that's a product of how he plays the game. When you play the game and you rush like him, when he gets hurt, it's not because he's fragile. It's not because he's dumb. It's not because he should have gone out of bounds. That's just who and what he is. And if he's not near out of bounds, those hits take their
toll.
What's the word?
Their toll.
Yes, they take their toll. Another example, Michael Vick. Towards that end, they were taking its toll.
But,
and so there is no given that the Lamar Jackson you get today will be
right,
the Lamar
but,
Jackson.
But here's the difference. Lamar Jackson, I think, in my opinion, is a better passer at this stage of his career than either Randall Cunningham or Michael Vick ever were.
Honestly,
right?
No,
now, you have to take a lot of you talk about environment, right? He's never.
Oh, hold on. Let me do one thing here, John, before you go on. To explain what John is saying, though, because it kind of hit my head. Randall Cunningham was not very good at reading an offense, but that was Buddy Ryan's fault because Buddy Ryan didn't care because he knew what Randall had in his leg. So he told Randall, if you see an opening, you run. So they never mentored the poor guy into becoming a great QB. And I kind of think that's what Ron Rivera did the same thing with Cam Newton. And it's a disgrace because we are in a tribalism society right now. And that's what you see back and forth. And I tell my friends of color, look, these young QBs who are told in college to run when they can because they are men among boys, they need some mentorship to learn the nuances and to fine-tune their quarterback ability. And that, to me, didn't happen with Cunningham or Cam Newton. But it did happen with Lamar Jackson. But in his defense, he said from his rookie year, he was going off season. He went to his camps. He's done himself better. So I like him despite the fact, you know, I'm going against him here.
I was going to say, listen, I think everything has value at the right price, right? So if the Jets were able to get Aaron Rodgers for a second-round pick, I was all in. You know what I mean? But forget the first-round swap. That was just a two-slot swap, right? So that's just I don't even think –
And I'm glad you said that because, for the record, that's my whole issue, is Green Bay should have gotten a first-round pick.
That wasn't going to happen. I could tell you from what I've read in the media, the Jets were not giving up a first-rounder this year, period. That was off the table.
Right, and I would have started shopping Aaron somewhere else.
Well, listen, the Jets were bidding against themselves. Nobody else was bidding on all the other stuff was smoke screens. Oh, Tennessee might trade for Aaron. No, they're not. They're not trading for Aaron Rodgers. So it's like – why would the Jets bid against themselves? So, like I said, if the price was a little less steeper, or you want all that trade draft capital, great. Take on half his salary. Then we'll talk. Then I'll take on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's the part that I failed to realize, that big John there. I'm always knocking John at times in certain aspects, but the one thing he does is he understands the breadth and the scope of the game. That's why he wins that betting, and I don't.
Well, you know, and the other thing, let me say, look, Lamar Jackson would not be a better fit for the Jets necessarily right now, because don't forget, they also hired Nathaniel Hackett in anticipation of getting Aaron Rodgers, right? So it's like the Jets were all in on Rodgers. I don't know who they were kidding. But the Packers acted as if they had more leverage than they did. The Packers had zero leverage as far as I'm concerned, right?
I agree with the Jordan Love situation. But on the flip side, if I'm the Packers GM, I'm bringing up the fact, hey, you yourself, Robert Saleh, said you're pretty much a QB away and you have faith in Zach Wilson. Well, obviously that didn't turn out. But I've got an all-pro Super Bowl-winning future Hall of Famer here for you who will give you more than any first-round pick. A first-rounder is what I'm asking. Do not call me until you get that. Then I'm calling the Titans. Right. You know why? Because didn't their new GM come from San Francisco?
I don't know if he came from San Francisco, but it's a new GM down there. Who is it? Ray Carthon, I think. But, listen, they're in a complete rebuild mode.
I'm calling the Titans. Other teams to play up the we got to grab.
No, Rodgers wasn't going anywhere else. It was obvious from the offseason. The only team that might have traded for him would have been the Raiders. And once,
John, one question. You know, we're talking as if Rodgers doesn't care about the money. That's the biggest lie.
Of course, he does. Yeah,
if he didn't care about the money, he would have signed a more team friendly contract. Kept
there you go.
Items, build up a receiver core, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, at the end of the day, they could hold that against him. I don't know how much of it is guaranteed, if all of it's guaranteed, but the Packers could have sat there and looked at Rodgers. Hey, because traditionally speaking, you cut some of it. God, I wish I knew the contract, because I'm trying to think, and I'm thinking that most of it is guaranteed.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, they could not cut him. It would be like a tremendous hit to their cap, even if they spread it across 2 years post June 1st, it would still be like very, very difficult to get rid of them. So the Jets knew that. Everyone knew that. Now listen, if I'm the Jets, and people think I'm crazy, I would have made a stronger run at Derek Carr, because with a competent quarterback, with a great defense and a great running game, that guy can get you deep. All he has to do is not make mistakes, right?
No. You know why? For the simple reason he is Mr. Happy Feet, and I hate using that term because I actually apologize, as I told you to Jim Everett, about using it. These are men who are the elite of the elite. And the NFL is a different game, so to sit there and casually say that as if it's no big thing they can overcome is a detriment. And that happens a lot of times when you don't have an offensive line and people. It will destroy a young QB's psyche. They will never be the same. I have talked to agents of former players who have stated as such. Now, Derek Carr has 9 years of a reputation of happy feet. Early on, he did have them. I didn't see happy feet towards the last couple of seasons, but what I did see was anxious arm and anxious eyes, meaning, oh, I got to throw the ball, boom, and he throws it over, and he wasn't very accurate, and I will show that one play. Was it the Steeler? It was, you and I both talked about it. It was like the final play of the game. The guy was wide open, Carr half the time, but just wasn't accurate enough. Carr could barely handle the Oakland and Las Vegas media. Everything you said about that media that I agree with, just Carr's done. He would never have succeeded because of the media alone. And they need a quarterback that at least has been put in a situation and has won. If you're going into that market, that's the player you want. Somebody who has actually won versus somebody who's still thinking about and learning how to win. Carr has never won. What is it, one playoff
appearance? Yeah, but you're also taking something else into account. The situation in Oakland was very deleterious to him. What do you have, like 5 or 6?
Whoa, big word.
It wasn't good for him in Las Vegas and in Oakland, because what happened was that, what do you have, like 6 different offensive coordinators during his tenure there? It was crazy. So, like, I'm just one of those guys.
No, you're right, John. He did. He had multiple head coaches, but he did have Gruden.
And that's when he played. When he played at a very high caliber, right? So. Yeah. Listen, do I think he's the type of quarterback that can put a team on his shoulders and carry them? Absolutely not. Is he the type of quarterback that with a great...
Well, neither is Rodgers for that matter in the playoffs. He's never been...
Well, you know, I tend to think so too, but that doesn't seem to be the consensus, right? Like, yes.
Remember, Rodgers, who did he have that offset him that he has really never had since then? It was one of Ryan Grant's better seasons.
Oh, you mean a running back? Yeah. Listen, even now, Aaron Jones is a really good running back, all-around back, and so is
But they had other deficiencies.
Yeah. Well, look, I think the problem is, to your point, the fact that he was never given giving the team a friendly contract meant that they couldn't go out and get him all the weapons he wanted, right? They couldn't, right. Like at times they had good defenses. But what was it about Aaron Rodgers? They always had to have one of the best offensive lines in front of them to protect their investment. That cost a lot of money. When you think...
Well, they sacrificed the defense, John.
And their skill position players. And their skill position players, right? Yeah. Like, who was their last good tight end? Chimura? Mark Chimura? Was he their last good tight end?
I know. They had... Yeah. And then they were free-falling in terms of hiring free agents who were failures elsewhere. Hell, they even brought in a washed-up Jimmy, the great guy from New Orleans.
No, he never went to Green Bay, did he? Jimmy Graham? He went to the Bears. He went to the...
No, he became kind of...
Yeah, he went to the Seahawks.
Jimmy Graham.
But regardless, my point is... They didn't, because he was like Brady, made sure he got paid every year, but he also left enough money on the table so that his team would be better. Because he understood, I can't carry this team by myself. It seems to me.
No, I get you, John, real quick. 2018, 2019, Green Bay, 16 games, played 12 and 10 games. 16 game season, played 12 and 10. I thought he played there, but my point being is the last 5 or 6 years, they've been struggling to the point. Before, they always had a body in waiting. And the last 5 or 6 years, they haven't. And I think part of that is free agency, and part of that is the exorbitant cost with the salary cap. They can't
Here's the biggest thing. And why isn't Devontae Adams still in Green Bay?
Because of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, there you go. And listen, I'm capitalist number one. If you can, if you demand a certain price and people are willing to pay it, God bless you. Go and get it. But you have to understand what the waterfall effect of that is. And what that is your team cannot afford to put better players around you. So you better be there. So as much as you've sort of given us the negative of Lamar Jackson, the truth of the matter is, that guy carried that team. For whatever success the Ravens experienced, it was largely due to a great defense and Lamar Jackson.
He was a big part of the team, but that team was built around
I'm not disagreeing with you, but the point is...
But no. He did not carry the team. He was part of the team. I mean, if the guy carried the team, he couldn't carry the water, because come the playoff times, he was like Aaron Rodgers part two. You know, and my point is he was part of the machine there. His ability to be an exceptional part of that machine, you can't – what I'm trying to say is he didn't carry them, but he had the skills where he made plays that people were like, oh, my God. And, it, you know, but he couldn't do that consistent enough for me to go, oh, he can carry that team. No, you know. Now, that said, we haven't even talked about the controversy because nobody knows. What was it, a six-week injury lasting, what, 6 months at the end of the year? I don't know if he held out or didn't come back.
Oh, I do. He did.
Unhappy contract. But here's where I'll base my questioning him on are his tweets. He went from an angelic Christian kid first coming to the league to just a crybaby loudmouth who would just make statements that were mean, harsh. And he was responding, but it showed a change in his personality. It showed a change in his tone.
But and also don't forget, like, he has no agent. He has no agent. Which
That's
is
right. Nobody told him.
Which is to this day, I think if he had an agent and a good agent, he'd be getting his money. He'd be getting some guaranteed money, if not all of it. He'd be getting most of it.
Oh yeah, he would have already had.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, hey John, here's the kicker. You can see his ignorance and his immaturity when he came back out after, you know, he knew he wasn't going to get a guaranteed deal. And said, well, I'm not asking for a guaranteed contract, except for the guaranteed part of the contract was as much as Deshaun Watson was earning. You know, and my take is he that stupid or that naive? It's a combination of both, because he's smart enough to know he needs an agent. And here's why he needs an agent. Some dumb, moronic fanboy who actually has a job at one of the NFL organizations out there two guys who were like offensive linemen or non-skill positions represented themselves and got nice.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is when you're talking $250 million over years, you're talking it's like comparing a peewee contract to a professional contract. The intricacies, the balancing, the playing with the numbers, it's a different level and a different game. And an agent is best suited, because the agent is the buffer who sits the player down and goes, look, son, this is what this is doing, and this is what it means. I don't know if he has the capacity to understand that. And I'm not saying that because he's stupid. I'm saying that as an example, people. When I ran my company, I would have three-hour meetings with my lawyer. I'm not exaggerating, because he would break down the contract. He would tell me, don't worry about this, don't worry about this. This is what this means, William. This, and I'd be like, oh, I thought that word meant this. And my lawyer would say, yes, generally, but in legalese terms, it means this. And that's what an agent can do. So people who don't realize that, I call you a dumbass fanboy.
Well, also, also, not just from the contract perspective, but also from the perspective of, you know, there's rules to all of this, right? The NFL is just one rule after another. Lamar Jackson can't just call up an owner, for the most part, and start feeling things around. That's part of what agents do.
Yeah, and there's see, and that's the other thing. Does he realize how the tampering rules work? I'm not saying he does it, but
no.
Now
listen,
this is what an agent does.
Yeah, I think, for example, a player who represents himself is allowed to call up owners and general managers because they have to represent themselves. But what they don't understand is, for example, a lot of these deals get done at places like the owners' meeting, the combine. Right, where people are killing time and they're just like, oh, well, hey, man, if we did this, and hey, I'm just throwing something out there, nothing, you know, no official anything. You know, you get a lot of this talk. Hey, let's go grab a steak and let's get a napkin right on the back of the napkin and stuff like that. Stuff like that happens. It happens in every business, William. You know that. When we would go to.
You know what else happens? Head coaches in a corner in a bar. Oh, I could drop some names, brother.
Yeah,
sorry, you just
yeah.
Have a fun memory.
No, but my point is, even when you and I would go to the conventions and to the gatherings, right, that's where deals got done, right? Hey, even from our yeah. dopey fantasy industry, right? I heard you're coming out with a new feature. Yeah, I heard you've got a new writer that's kind of hot. Why don't we swap content for function or whatever, right? You get deals like the – or who's that?
No,
who's
you're right.
Right? Lamar Jackson was not part of that. Yeah. Lamar
– I mean, I think John's absolutely right, people. When I went to the convention, I secured one of the first major contracts from a major player to a smaller player, and that was Yahoo. We did all their content, and they came to us. It was because of the seminars. I built relationships with Sportsline. We were the only company working out of the basement who had contracts with – Fox Sports, Yahoo, CBS Sports, even the NFL. We were the first fantasy analysts. And John's right. All of this happened because of the conventions and seminars. And that's where Lamar exactly. Jackson hurts himself. He doesn't go to those things. John, let's bottom line this. Aaron Rodgers with the New York Jets. It doesn't have to be an exact, but what do you see their wins versus their losses, and where do you see them falling in the division? Now, I won't hold you to any of this because it's so early right. off season. It's just a fun, wild game for people. What do you say, John?
I put them somewhere around 11-6, 10-7.
Ooh.
Maybe second place in the AFC East. I think a lot of it is also going to depend on Tua Tagovailoa. I think if he's healthy, because if he's healthy and he comes back, and he's able to pick up where he left off with Waddle and Tyreek Hill, like that alone, that trio alone, is enough to be a wild card in the AFC East. Now, do I think?
Oh, it's like a minor league Kansas City.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy system, and I think McDaniels in his second year is going to be more effective. The Dolphins now have other picks. They don't have to worry as much about the offense. They can put some more effort into the defense, right? So I think the Dolphins, if Tua's back, they're going to be a solid team in that division. The Bills are still the class of the division, right? Between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and all those guys, if they get a running back in there, you know, get some things going, maybe shore up the defense a little bit, but they're still the class of the AFC East. So, like, what are the Jets going to do? The Patriots are the only team that I'm not worried about in the AFC East, ironically, after decades of them ruling, right? Yeah. It's about time. So the Jets could be anywhere from first to third in that division. Nothing would surprise me. With Aaron Rodgers and a healthy Breece Hall, like, yeah, 10-7, 11-6, wild card probably. I don't see them winning the AFC East, even with Rodgers. I don't see them winning the AFC East.
Okay. So you don't see them winning the East, so you're middle of the pack, potential wild card, yeah. is what you're saying. What I'm hearing is that's going to be a phenomenal division. Even the weak Patriots 2 years ago had a decent season, and now that they got Bill O'Brien and people, you fanboys need to realize something. Bill O'Brien is a hell of a head coach
yep.
and offensive coordinator. His problem was his career started and ended. Exactly.
Right.
As a GM. All right, John. Green Bay, where do you see them with Jordan Love? If you have no idea, that's fair to say too.
I don't know because we have no practical tape on Jordan Love. I mean, everything you hear coming out of Green Bay is positive that the team accepts him and they've already like accepted him as replacing Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Jones of all people said that when he was interviewed, I think by Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp during the Super Bowl week. You know, they said, well, if Aaron Rodgers leaves, how do you feel about Jordan Love? And he goes, we love the kid. He's great. You know, it's like, so whether it's a smokescreen or not, I'll take him at his word for now that the team has accepted Jordan Love. And look, the Packers traded up in the first round to get him when they didn't have to. And I actually criticized the move at the time.
And they should
yeah,
have.
I criticized the move at the time.
Nothing no, it's just, it was just a
right. move, it wasn't a value you know? Move. So exactly. at that point, you know. But anyway, so they seem committed to him. Do they have All enough right. to like right. overcome? I don't know. I don't think they do.
Right. Okay. So here's what I see. I see 9 or 10 wins from the Jets. You have to acclimate yourself to that offense, to the players, and most importantly, that people will forget, he's got to acclimate himself to the city and the media. The reason I say that, if you don't and it becomes a battle, that messes with your head, and that's why a lot of players fail. They can't take the media. It affects their play on the field because they're stressing and worrying about every single movement they do on the field. So that's why I think we're looking – I would not be shocked at a 9-7.
No, right? It's 9-8 now. So, 17 game singles.
9-8 now. Okay. I know, you keep adding there. 9-8. I can still, I'm thinking 9 or 10 win season with a shot at the wild card. Green Bay, if we look at Rodgers, look at Favre, I think they don't miss a beat and they'll be competitive. How they determine their future, though, is going to be based off teams around them. That they've got some quality teams there that can.
Oh, the Lions are up and coming team.
We don't know their metal yet. Chicago, Justin Fields will be in his second year. He's learning to become a better quarterback and starting to use his legs. There are a couple of games that flash that, and that's the evolvement. What they're lacking, I think, is a true running back. So I would not be shocked if I don't know who they're going to pursue, but if they could get like a Dalvin Cook or somebody like that to offset their backfield, that'll help him. But yeah, I see anything from I would be thinking 9-10 week season, but in a better way than the Jets, meaning it's a tougher division, tougher teams. But I'm lying right now because you got the Bills, you got the Dolphins, and you got – so yeah, I guess both teams are pretty much mirror-like in my thought process at this point. But once the season gets going, we'll be able to figure it out.
Now, to me, the key is going to be for the Packers. While you were talking, I was thinking about it. How will Jordan Love deal with his teammates? Like, one of the things about Rodgers is if you thought about the way he dealt with Christian Watson as a wide receiver this year, Watson clearly at the end of the year – By mid-season onwards, guy was unstoppable, right? Had a touchdown in some like 6-7 straight games. He was a speed burner. Great.
Right. But John, part of that is because Rodgers still has the mechanics.
Right, but also who buried him for the first half of the season? Rodgers. Right? So that's what I'm trying to get at. True. Right? There's good and bad with Aaron Rodgers. Like when Christian Watson dropped that pass, that TD pass, that it was a perfect pass and he dropped it. You could see that Rodgers just wasn't going his way for a while.
But that's common. I mean, you got to re-earn the trust and he did. So I'm not defending Rodgers as much as that's a crappy move, but a lot of veteran quarterbacks, what? You don't drop my
pass. Well, it's also like if you're a different type of quarterback, you have a different.
Right.
Well, you also have a different mentality. So I'm saying what Jordan Love is, maybe Jordan Love has the type of character that's like, I don't have to be the superstar here. So I'll hand the ball off to Aaron Jones. I'll dump it off to the tight end. I'll hit whichever receiver's open, not just the guy I'm in love with this week. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if he thinks like that, then he's going to fail because he's already a prima donna. Odds are he's scared bleepless. Not because he fears the game. It's like spotlights on him. I have never seen a young quarterback play that game. You drop the ball, man. Get on my field. You know, I've seen the quarterback. I'm not going to throw it to you. Where's my tight end at? You know, and you're right. I've heard nothing negative about Jordan Love. In fact, we heard a few positive notes when I never heard Rodgers, but there were rumors, you know, he wasn't being nice to him or things like that. And I don't believe any of that because it doesn't seem friction would have come up. But at the end of the day, that's our take on the Jets. I think the Jets did well by not having to give up the first round pick outright, which is what the Packers wanted. So what the Jets did was they just swapped the most important pick, gave him draft picks. We won't know who won this trade until many years after, because there have been trades that have gone down that have gone nowhere. So for example, Jimmy Johnson, the people he picked up from the Herschel Walker trade is what turned them into Super Bowl champions, you know. But what the Jets picked up from Namath or other trades and things like that, they tend to not really pan out as well, in my humble opinion, looking at it anecdotally. But I'll never forget the Herschel Walker trade, and that's why you try to make these type of trades, and that's why they did get all those picks. The difference being is Jimmy Johnson went to the you do know stories came out about Johnson and kind of very unethical ways with his own recruiting there without breaking. But the point being in saying that is he knew these players inside and out. So he didn't need his scouts. he'd already either tried to recruit him or had the recruiting reports. So he was able to build up a great team there. John, I think fabulous discussion. Nothing is super detailed that some analysts like to give, that people get lost in the weeds, but some honest, brutal takes from the perspective of what awaits Rodgers and what they can expect as the season goes down, and a little analysis on the trade. We're always going to be debating trades like this until the results pan out 5 years from now. So we will revisit
I'm
this
sure we will.
In 5 years. And everybody, that is it. Do not forget to visit us at sportsgrumblings.com. John's been posting a boatload of articles. You know, and look, we're all kids at heart. Who doesn't like wrestling? Well, there's some awesome women John has spoken about. Who doesn't love the Bond girls? There's some awesome women. And you know what, people? I've got a great article coming up. The hottest transgenders in America.
Now you got me.
No lie. I'm jesting, people. Don't hate on me. You know, hate on me after I hang up. And with that, also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. On the conservative sites, Gab and Getter and Truth Social, just look up Sports Grumbling and you will find us. And with that, Big John, this has been Points on the Board, and I will give you the last word, my friend.
Well, it was good getting back on the horse today. And as, in addition to everything William said, don't forget, subscribe to our channel on YouTube and on Rumble. Make sure you're up to date on all the content we produce. So until next time, peace out.